Merry Christmas. Man, you don't know, I'm going to do something different. I'm actually going to use this thing today. Is that weird? Yeah. Is that really weird?
Yeah.
Hey, sometimes we got to step out of our comfort zones. And for most of my life, I have been the type of person that my comfort zone lies outside of the area that is everybody else's comfort zone. So I love those situations. And you told me, or I've told you many times, that those awkward situations is where I thrive. In the hectic part of life and the troubling part of life is where I thrive. And sometimes things that seem so simple as a podium or things that seem so normal are really awkward for me and odd for me. So today, what better day than to use the podium, something that I'm totally not accustomed to. But I want to ask something. Kiddos, if you can walk and talk and would like to come up for just a minute, I want to read you guys a little story. But first, I've got to ask you a couple questions. So come on up here, and you can sit right here in one of these rows or on the floor or wherever you want to sit. But I've got to share a little bit something for you or with you. Not up there. Right in here. You guys can come right in here if you want to. I'm going to sit down here with you for a second. So I've got a question. Come on up, you got time. My question is, did anybody here wake up this morning with some gifts?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys got some gifts. Okay, did you have a favorite gift? Did you have a gift that you liked? Yeah? So just real quick, what is something that you liked? A puzzle? What you got? What was your favorite thing you got? Think about it. Well, I'll come back, okay? What you got?
A viper strike.
That sounds terrible. I don't know what it is, but it sounds like a snake bite. Oh, it's a Nerf gun. Okay. Okay, I was about to say. Somebody may need to look into your parents a little bit. Okay. You got a Tesla? I think you're a little young for your Tesla. But maybe your dad got a Tesla. Oh, it's for all of you guys. Okay. That's weird because at my house, when I get something, it's usually my wife's. It's weird. So, what'd you get? Moped? A what? A real live pet? Little alive? Ah, okay. Sounds cool. What'd you get? A wooden bat. Okay. A hoverboard. A baking set. Raising them up right there. I'm telling you what. What'd you get? You remember? Slime? Slime, man. Man, that is cool. So what if, you ever heard anybody say, what's the real reason for the season? You ever heard anybody just ask that question before? What if I actually told you that the real reason for the season is something that was given to you? What do you think? So could gifts be the reason for the season? What about a gift? Could a gift be the reason for the season? Absolutely it can. Absolutely it can, but in a totally different way than we look at it. See, each and every one of us have the opportunity to grab our Bibles and hear about the greatest gift that was ever given. Way better than viper strikes or slime or even baking sets. And I'd like to read that story to you this morning before we get started. So we're going to go in the book of Luke here, and I'm going to read just quickly to you what's the reason that we're gathering here today. But this is only the first part, And after you guys go sit down, we'll finish the story. How's that sound? It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius, the governing, was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee. Do you guys know who Joseph is? Mary's husband, okay. To Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Do you guys know who she was giving birth to? Jesus. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. So the greatest gift that you guys were given today wasn't wrapped in wrapping paper, but it was actually wrapped in swaddling clothes. How about that? Isn't that an awesome story? That's the reason that we're here today. We're here to celebrate Jesus' birth. But even though that story right there starts off great, it has to have so much more to be fulfilled, right? Let's pray, and as you guys go back, we'll learn why, okay? Lord God, I thank you for these wonderful kids, Lord, and I just ask that each and every year, as they prepare to go out and purchase those gifts, that each every one of those gifts, that they remember Christ, Lord, and when you sent him here to be born, that gift that you gave us Christmas morning, Lord, and when they open those gifts under that tree, and when they see that tree, they see the cross, and they see Jesus and what he did when he gave his life for us. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to celebrate here on Christmas Day, to celebrate you and your gift of your son. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. Sometimes we kind of lose sight, don't we? Sometimes we think that everything is about the gifts, and we think it's all about the money and the things that we spend. And as each and every one of you guys were walking in this morning, man, what a blessing to see on this Christmas day that each and every one of us could have been at home in our pajamas and relaxing and sleeping and getting caught up on what little sleep we didn't get last night, or playing with our toys, or getting ready to, you know, beat half of our kids because they've ate too much of the candy we got them for Christmas, or whatever it is that we were going to do. We could have been doing that. We could have still been just relaxing and taking it as just another holiday that we celebrate, right? Just another day that we just get to go up and dress up and do some things and have fun. And that's what the world wants us to do. As a matter of fact, the world wants us to forget that what we're doing is actually coming and celebrating and remembering the birth of Jesus. And it wants to take us into a place that goes away from that and into a more commercialized holiday. Wants to forget the true meaning of Christmas. But as I sit here and I see each and every one of you this morning, I get so excited because all of you are here not just because it's another Sunday. You're not at home just thinking it's too rough to be here this morning. You're here to worship together. And how exciting is that? See, one of the things that we have to remember as we lit all of the Advent candles this year is that we have to remember that the entire season, all the weeks that have led up to this, all of those weeks that we had sermons on peace and joy and hope and love, they all pointed to Christ. See, even when we look and we talk with the kids about the greatest gift that we can get, We look in that manger and in those swaddling clothes, and we see that newborn son, that beautiful child wrapped up and given freely to us. But we have to go back and say, what happens if Jesus' life and story ended on that night? Let's just say that when we go back and we read in the book of Luke that it ended with the shepherds coming and seeing Jesus laying there, and they go out and they celebrate and they tell everybody that Jesus was born, and then you heard nothing else of him the rest of his life. Would he have been who he is? And the answer that I have to say is no. He would have just been another child born out of wedlock in a terrible situation, in pain, with lies and sin. However, that is not who Jesus is. See, when God gives promises, when he tells us his plan and he goes to act out his plan, he fulfills his plan. And we go all the way back from the first words in our Bible, in the book of Genesis, all the way to the end of Revelation, and everything points to Jesus. Every aspect of every word in this Bible points to Jesus. It either starts to tell or it finishes telling about Jesus' life. And see, Jesus, born in a terrible situation, is only remarkable because God himself sent him and proved that he sent him, because after 30-something years later, after that morning in which he was born, we get to see God's plan for us fulfilled in the death and resurrection of his son. See, as I read in 1 Peter, Peter starts talking here in 1 Peter chapter 2. He starts telling the readers, more than likely he was writing this letter in Rome. He was writing this letter somewhere between 62 and 64 AD, if you want to get on your timeline. It would have been, more than likely, because of what we read, it would have been after Paul was in Rome and was jailed there, and definitely would have been before 2 Peter that we will read next. So there's you a time frame in which Peter is writing around about Jesus. And this would have been several years after Jesus' death, but yet Peter is still proclaiming Christ. And what we need to do on this Christmas season is understand what the importance is in proclaiming Christ. Not just born, but also resurrected. The full story. So if you want to open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 21. It says, "For you were called to this because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He did not commit sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When he was insulted, he did not insult in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Let's pray. Lord God, as we dig into your word this morning, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to celebrate this happiest of birthdays, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to gather. Thank you for allowing us to see past the muck of this season that the world has tried to make. And Lord, that we can actually celebrate the birth of our Savior, Lord. Lord, I ask that as we see your words today, that we don't only just see the birth of a newborn baby, but we also see our sins taken upon and paid for by that by that wonderful Son of yours that we call Jesus, Lord. Lord, we just ask that today that as we see those swaddling clothes, we also see those burial cloths laid there in the tomb. Lord, I ask that we see the gift and the reason for this season in your Son, Jesus. I say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we dig in here, Peter's speaking, and he talks, he says, "For you were called to this because Christ also suffered for you." So what is Peter saying? And I started in verse 21, because verse 21, you kind of got to get a little bit of a backstory. And even though it's a few verses behind, it says, "For you were called to this," and called to what? What are we called to do? "Because Christ also suffered for you." And Peter wants his readers to know that sometimes in this life that we have to suffer. And we suffer for the purpose of being able to glorify God. Why is that? Why do we have suffering? And the answer is because of this world and the sin in it. A lot of people say, well, the reason that I'm suffering is because I have chosen to follow Christ. And the reason that I am suffering is because of all the good things that I do. And in order to be able to get to heaven, I have to do this. And I have to bear my cross. But the actual truth is, when Peter is speaking here, and you go back just a little bit, and it says, "For what credit," in verse 20, "is it there if when you do wrong and are beaten, you endure it? But when you do what is good and suffer, if you endure it, this brings favor with God." Why would it bring favor with God for us to suffer? Is it all because of us? Is the picture on us? Is everything that we see and that we do encountered because of us? And the answer is no, just in the same way that Christmas is not about us. Christmas is not about you being the best parent out there because you gave your kids the best gifts. Christmas is not about opening the best gifts or the best Christmas parties or the prettiest lights on your house. That's not what Christmas is about. And the reason that we suffer is not because of us, but because of the glorification of Christ. See, we can't suffer enough for our sins to be paid. It's not possible. The only one that could pay the price for our sins is Christ himself and Christ alone. Nothing that you can do that would ever pay for the sins that you've committed. And you say, well, how terrible is that? That there is nothing I can do. And the actual realization should be, how amazing is it that there is nothing that I could do, and yet my Creator, the God of the entire universe and all that is and ever was and will be, loved me enough that He brought His Son into this world, placed him in that manger, wrapped him in those swaddling clothes, and then placed him on that cross to bleed out for me. What an amazing gift. And yet we suffer because when we turn to Christ, we are no longer of this world. We are no longer a part of it. As a matter of fact, you guys know just a few weeks ago that I had some time in the hospital, right? And I had an IV placed into my arm. And for a small amount of time, that IV, I couldn't hardly tell, other than, you know, the cords would get wrapped around something. And that would be a little bit annoying, but for a small amount of time, that IV wasn't too bad. But eventually, my body saw that IV was not supposed to be there. It was not supposed to be in my arm. And eventually, my body tried to reject that IV, and it tried to push that IV out by bringing on inflammation and pain into that area. And even though that IV was good and presenting goodness, my body did not want that. In the same way that this world will try to push us out of it and try to hurt us. Why? Because we are here because Christ loved us, and therefore we are His creation, and therefore we are not of this world. And when the world sees that we are not of it, it wants to push us out and get rid of us, and it will bring pain to us. Why? Not because it sees us, but because it sees Christ in us. Oh, how joyful would it be to suffer because someone saw Christ in me? How amazing would it be to be able to suffer because they saw Christ in you? Why? Because we weren't made for this world. We were made to be with Christ. Says that he also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. This word example here, if you go back to the original Greek meaning, and you take that word example and you look at it, it actually means to trace out, right? And do you guys remember as kids, like, does anybody here like just terrible at drawing? Raise your hand if you're terrible at drawing, right? I am terrible at drawing. But one thing that I could do is we had this little trick. If I knew that I needed to draw something and I need to make it look like something else, I could take a thin sheet of paper that I could see through and I could lay it over top of something that I wanted to draw and I could trace it out. Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever trace that out like that? Right? And you would trace that out. And you would do your best to follow those lines. Or maybe if you're a teacher, one thing that you do is you try to teach kids, if you are a teacher that teaches younger kids, you try to teach them how to write, right? And one of the ways that you teach them how to write is that you start with a piece of paper that has the, let's say, the letter A, and that letter A, you have dots there instead of the full letter A, and your job is to follow, or the kid's job is to follow and trace out that letter that is there so that their A can look like your A. Or so that picture that you laid that thin sheet, your purpose was so that your picture could look like that picture. You guys remember doing those things, don't you? Well, that word example there says that our life should be in the same way. That when we have Christ's life, that we should lay our life over that and try to trace and follow in every step that Christ does. That is the picture that you have here. Now, that doesn't mean that you have perfection. As a matter of fact, I'm a terrible, terrible artist. I'll just share with you. Sometimes I struggle drawing stick figures. And one of the things that I would do is when I would trace over those lines, you know, and I would look at the picture afterwards, you could tell that there was a resemblance or a great resemblance of what the original picture was. However, you could also tell that Kirill drew it. You could tell that it wasn't perfect. Christ isn't asking for us to be perfect, but for us to be willing to be made perfect through Him. You see what I'm getting there? Our life should be an example or should be traced out in a way that resembles Christ, but we will never be Christ without Christ coming down and giving us Himself to cleanse our sins away so that we could be renewed through Christ. We should still live by His example, but don't be afraid when we accidentally get out of the lines, because our goal was to look and to be as though Christ. He did not commit sin and no deceit and was found in his mouth. In that example, in that drawing, as we are being drawn out and we are trying to follow Christ's life, we see that Peter writes here and he makes several different times, he references back to Isaiah, right? And this is one of those times. And he references back to Isaiah and shares that in he did not commit sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. We should strive to be in this way because Christ in no way ever sought to sin. In no way did he present something that was sinful or wrong. He always spoke with righteousness. He always did what was right. And you say, okay, well, he had that ability to be able to live that life. And sometimes we strive to do those sorts of things and we want to be that way. And I give my life in a way that I always try to do what's right. And then we say things like, but, you know, the other day I went to the Toys R Us or the Walmart and all those people, they really tried to test me a little bit. Y'all had any of that? Anybody went shopping and been tested here in the past few weeks? Yeah, we get tested. What about you come home and you're trying to get ready and then your kids test you a little bit, right? Your spouse tests you a little bit. Then you go to work and your boss or your coworkers or whoever tests you a little bit and everybody's testing you. And then you look in the mirror and you even test yourself a little bit, right? And you get frustrated with everything that's going on. And you say, well, you know, it's easy to live good when everything's going right and I'm not frustrated. And I can follow Christ in those situations when I'm flowing, whenever the service goes right and I get to go home and I realize that that turkey that was in the oven the whole time, man, it's just golden brown. We can eat it perfect. Everything looks good, right? Man, Grandma made her famous homemade biscuits and life is good. That's the idea of Christmas. I got exactly what I wanted. And life should be in that same way that we get everything. But we go in a little deeper. It says, when he was insulted, he did not insult in return. Whoa, wait a minute. I can do it whenever it's good. But Christ is so much more. As a matter of fact, when he was insulted, he didn't go back and insult back. As he walked bearing that cross and he was mocked and he was talked to terribly. As a matter of fact, we know that the other two thieves on the cross, that both of them mocked him, and yet he never said anything back to them. His entire time as one of those thieves was mocking and ridiculing him and calling him everything that you could imagine and speaking terribly to him, he knew that in just a matter of minutes that he would proclaim himself to him and would invite him in his presence for eternity. He didn't discount him or talk negative or sin against him or do anything. As a matter of fact, he had just as much love in those words as they were being spoken ill to him, just as much love as in when that same thief cried out for him to remember him in paradise. He did not sin. And he did not insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. As a matter of fact, when we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane crying out, bleeding from his pores because of the amount of stress on his body, knowing what he was going to have to endure, seeing what was going to be done. He didn't go back and attack and destroy, but he fully committed himself. And he said, Father, it's your will, not mine. It's your will be done. It isn't my flesh's will be done, but your will be done. This is the way in which we should live. This is the way in which we celebrate Christmas. This is the way in which we live this life because of the gift that was given to us. That we give ourselves fully to God's plan for our lives. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. As I see this The way that this is worded, I just think of the whole Christmas season, and I think of the reason that we celebrate the birth. As I look at my Christmas tree, I think of the tree that was formed into a cross that held my Savior. I see the star on the top of the tree that points, just as the star pointed to Christ. I see it pointing down onto that cross and saying, showing my Savior and Him taking the fullness of my sin and bearing it. As a matter of fact, that word bore right there, that word bore, it's really to carry or to be encompassed by a weight that is way too heavy, that is pressing down. And see, that's what sin does. It presses down onto us, and it is something that we cannot carry, that we cannot bear ourselves, and it presses us and it consumes us. But the only one that can take the full weight of our sin is Christ. And He did that as His body hung on that tree, and that He bore our sins so that we might have righteousness. See, the only way that we gain righteousness is through Jesus. You want a reason to celebrate? Celebrate Jesus. It says, by His wounds you have been healed. And so many of us read this, right? And we think of times that people are sick or that are hurt. And we think, oh, you know, by His wounds and we'll be healed. And we think of this physical aspect of healing. But in all truthfulness, as we go in here, and Peter writes again in referencing to Isaiah, and he is showing this beautiful picture of Christ crucified, and the beating and the mocking and the hanging and the of every aspect of that crucifixion, and then the bearing down on Him and the fullness of our sins encompassing Him and Him taking them and paying them for us for eternity. We are not physically healed, but we are spiritually healed. We are spiritually made new. Because of His sacrifice, we are a new creation. Because of God giving us that present on Christmas Day of His Son, so that one day He would bear the fullness of our sins, we can celebrate, because by following Him, we are made new. We are healed of our sins. For you were like sheep going astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We went through the entire book of Hebrews, and this past year we had many references to great shepherds, and we had many references on Christmas about shepherds in the field and what that means. But this right here says, and it calls us, and it makes that picture even greater, that we are sheep that are constantly astray, but yet our shepherd, our guardian, Christ, was given to us, born on this day. He oversees us, He loves us, and He takes care of, washes, and saves our souls. I am so excited to be able to be here with you and celebrate this morning, this day. As we remember Christmas, and as we celebrate Christmas, I ask that we go out and we proclaim the story of Jesus, not just born, but also the story of Him walking and showing us how to walk, giving us that example, that way for us to trace out our lives, and also to go out and proclaim Him taking on the fullness of our sins. Share with the world that tree in which He was hung on, and the death and resurrection that God promised us and gave us. The entire world needs to hear what Christmas is about and the reason for the season, and that's Christ. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for Christmas, Lord. And I just ask that no matter what we go through, no matter what we do, Lord, that we remember you, that we give thanks for you, that we share with the world you, Lord. If there is any gift that we give out, that we give out the gospel, that we share how others can also be saved and loved through you. If there's anyone that is today that is hurting, Lord, that doesn't know you, I ask that you place on their hearts that need and desire to call out to you, Lord, that you call to them, that you bring them into your presence and you share with them Jesus and what you've done for them through him. Lord, as we go on out of this building, Lord, that we continue to grow as the church and we proclaim the true meaning and story of Christmas, and that is a Savior born. A Savior born that would bear the fullness of sin, that would die for us, and would be resurrected, showing that birth wasn't just another child in a terrible situation, but that was your son being given to the world. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.